Would you listen very, very carefully? Abraham, the father of the faithful, married to lovely, sweet, pure, proper, poised Sarah. God had promised them that they would have a boy. And that boy would become the carrier of the seed of the Christ child. And that someday Sarah would give birth by Abraham to a boy. The patriarch Abraham and his wife Sarah and their nephew Lot went down to the land of Egypt. I think they should not have gone, but go they did. While they were there, they were successful financially and prosperous materially. They found they had need of a housekeeper. Somebody to take care of the house, somebody to wash the clothes, somebody just to be a maid around the house. Maybe to cook the meals, I don't know. To wash the dishes, I don't know. But they had need to employ, are you listening? They had need to employ a housekeeper, a maid. Well, they found by some way a little Egyptian lady who was available, and she was a fine worker and a lady of character. A young lady, a little Egyptian maid. Her name was Hagar. She came to live in the home of Abraham and Sarah and was a faithful, loyal servant. When they went back to the land of Palestine, to the land of Egypt, Hagar, the little servant lady, went with them. Can you imagine living in this wonderful home? This home where the light did shine brightly in a world of darkness? This home where the truth did come clearly in a world of error. This home where righteousness did come and was performed in a world of wickedness. This, the greatest of all the homes in the greatest of all the lands. The home of Abraham. And so, she lived for years with them. Notice, she had no doubt been present when Abraham taught the things of God. When he had gathered the family around the circle, this little gal was such a part of the family that they'd asked Hagar to come. And, of course, they only had Sarah and Abraham and Lot, the nephew. And so the four of them would gather around the circle, no doubt. Abraham would expound the things of God. I wonder how many times she had heard Abraham pray some wonderful prayer to Jehovah God. I wonder how many times she had seen the family gathered for devotion. And yet, in spite of that, she had never herself heard the voice of God until later in the story. Now, wait a minute. Abraham grows older. Sarah grows older. They have no son. God had promised them, had he not, a son, but they have no son. So Sarah comes to Abraham and says, honey, we don't have a son. And God has promised, and we want an heir, and God has promised us one, but it looks like that I'm barren and unable to have children. I'm sure they went to all the medical doctors they could go and had all the medical tests they could have, like dozens of you have done. And yet there still came the fact that Sarah was unable to have a child. And Sarah said, now, look, honey, it's my fault because I'm barren. Look, we have this little Egyptian maid here, and she's been loyal. Why don't you commit the sex act with her? Why don't you, as the Bible says, go in unto her and let her become pregnant? Now, I'm talking frankly, but I want you to hear me. And that way, we can have a child. Now, you'd have to know, I guess, the Eastern mind to understand why anybody could comprehend such a thought. But Sarah did say, now look, we have this little girl. She's a faithful maid, a faithful housekeeper. And so, Abraham, are you listening? And no snickering. This is serious ground and nothing about which we ought to land. So, Abraham does go in unto Hagar. And she does conceive. She gets pregnant. And she's going to have a baby. And she gives birth to a baby boy. His name is Ishmael. By the way, he's the father of the Arab race to this day. They know it. We know it. The Jews know it. And so they give birth. she gives birth to this little boy. Now, soon after birth, Sarah, which is understandable, becomes bitter toward Hagar. And she says to Abraham, I'm not going to let her live in this house anymore. That little illegitimate child is not going to live under my roof. And that woman with whom you made love and who bore you a child is not going to live anymore. Now, get her out. Abraham, realizing he has no other alternative, he comes to Hagar. Are you listening? He comes to Hagar and says to that little servant lady with that little illegitimate child in her arms, he says, Hagar, you've got to leave. Sarah will no longer allow you and the illegitimate child to live in this house. He gives her some bread and some water, a little canteen of water, and she goes on her way. Are you listening? She and her little child, born out of wedlock, Ishmael, go out into the wilderness. She eats the bread, gives the child bread and water, and the water soon is gone. She takes the child. She holds that child in her arms. She sees she has no bread left. She has no water left. And so she realizes the child is going to die. She takes that child and she places that child over here in a certain spot in the shade. And then she herself leaves the child and turns to walk away, the Bible says, about a bow's shot, a good distance from the child, because she does not want to see the child die. Well, you can understand, her child is dying. He's going to starve to death. He's going to die of thirst and die of hunger. And soon, he'll be gone. Well, what mother wants to stand there and watch her child die? So she walks away, leaving her child to die. And when she does, she sits in the wilderness, brokenhearted, her child dying over here. And then suddenly, she hears a voice, the voice of God. Let me say this. God is saying to Hagar, okay, Hagar, you've gone into sin. Okay. You had Abraham when you shouldn't have had him. Okay. You conceived an illegitimate child. Okay. You've been cast out. Okay. I know you've done wrong. But God says, Hagar! She looks up and it's the voice of God. And this is the truth I want to leave with you. God still loved her. God still loved her. You say, Brother Hoss, that wicked woman, she had spoiled Abraham's purity. Yes, but though she did, turn this down just a trifle here, just a touch. God still loved her. You say, but she had broken up that home, really. But God still loved her. She had given birth to an illegitimate child, but God still loved her. Listen. There is no depth of sin that can go beyond the love of God. There is no distance that the prodigal can wander that will take him outside the love of God. There is no tavern where the lustful become more lustful and spend their wares in a wasted life. But what is not the object of the presence of the love of God? O love of God, how rich, how pure, how measureless and strong. It shall forever more endure the saints and angel song that has gone out from this pulpit through these years. I don't know any better news than this. God loves you. God loves you, Hagar. God loves you in spite of your sin. God does not love your sin. God does not love what you've done, but God loves you. And let me wrap my arms around this great crowd this morning and bring you to my bosom spiritually and say to you, there is a God in heaven whose love goes deeper than your sin is gone. Whose love goes farther than your sin is gone. But you say, preacher, you don't know what I've done, but God loves you. But you say, preacher, you don't know how deep I've been, but God loves you. But you say, preacher, you don't know what I've said, but God loves you. The God loves you. Wonderful story of love. Tell it to me again. Wonderful story of love. Wake the immortal's brain. Love is the theme. Love is supreme. Sweeter it grows. Glory bestows. Bright is the sun. Ever it glows. Love is the theme. Eternal theme. I do not know any better news than to say to you this morning, God loves you. Here's little Hagar out in the wilderness, the little illegitimate child over here, about to die. She wanders over here, forsaken by Abraham, forsaken by Sarah, whose idea it was for her to give birth to this child and to go in to Abraham. And here she is, but God still loves her. Listen carefully. He says, Sarah, maid of Abraham. What? He knows who she is. He knows who she worked for. He knows all about her. I'm so glad about this, ladies and gentlemen. I'm so glad that God's love is not predicated on our righteousness. And God's love is not predicated on our goodness. And God said, hey, Hagar, I know about your sin. I don't like it. And I bet don't think for a minute this morning I'm advocating sin. And don't think for a minute that I'm for what she did. I'm against the dirty, permissive society. I'm against the Playboy penthouse philosophy. I'm against the lewdness of our movies and television programs. I'm against it. But after somebody has listened and been bitten by the serpent, and heart is broken and life is wrecked, and you've gone the last mile into sin and drunk the last dreg of the bitter cup of sin, and you've come to the end of your rope, let me tell you, ladies and gentlemen, there still is a God in heaven who loves you and knows all about you. By the way, may I say this? May I say that if God in heaven still loves the sinner, those of us who are fellow sinners ought to still love the sinner. We ought not to condone what he's done, and we ought to stand up as I do week after week behind this pulpit and wave the flag and say, don't do it, don't do it, don't do it. But once it's done, we're supposed to pick up the fragments that are left and do what we can to salvage what we can. I was in Tampa, Florida, preaching this week. I spoke to a convention of ladies, of all things, and I was preaching, finished preaching. The lady back in the back said, could I see you 3 minutes? Walked out in the hallway and she said, my husband's father, my father-in-law, has committed a grievous sin. And she said, the church is bitter about it. And they won't even speak his name. When his name is spoken, they'll just almost, they'll get bitter about it. And every time I'm around people in the church, they become bitter when his name is spoken. Now, ladies and gentlemen, that's not New Testament Christianity. I think we ought to hate sin with a passion. And fight it! Once somebody has fallen into sin and somebody has tasted the bitter fruit of sin, oh, the loving and tender Lord Jesus comes with compassion and says, I'll forgive you and take you back and I'll forgive all your sins if you'll come to me. And certainly, if God, who's perfect, can be so forgiving, certainly those of us who are imperfect can be forgiving also. That isn't all. Hagar! Sarah's maid. He knows all about her. He knows her name. Now get this. Here she is, over here. And the child is right here. And here she is over here. The child is dying. And the voice of God says, Hagar. He still loves her. Hagar, Sarah's maid. He still knows all about her. Hagar, take up the child. Do you mean that God in heaven with a whole universe to run? You mean that God in heaven, with a sun to keep hot, and a whole population of 4 billion people to feed? Do you mean a God in heaven who must keep the moon and stars in place and run a universe? You mean God knows about that little bitty illegitimate child over there starving to death? Oh, yes. Oh, yes. God knew about the child. Now, listen to me. We have a lot of little children around here. A lot of little children who don't have the moms and dads like others have. And nice houses like others have. But I want to serve notice on you this morning, ladies and gentlemen, that God in heaven loves those little ragamuffin kids. And God loves those little illegitimate kids. And don't you dare rise up in judgment has because you've got a nice suit of clothes and you drive a nice car and you have a nice home. You have a good job. Don't you ever think you're better than one of them. Not don't you ever do it. Somebody said, what you going to do with all those stinking bus kids running around here? Well, what worries me is what we're going to do with all these stinking Pharisees running around here. I'm going to love every one of them. I got thinking, I probably shouldn't say this. God's interested in the illegitimate child. I got thinking. I'm very fond of one particular illegitimate child. Never thought about the fact. This is a fact. But Dave and Paula couldn't have children, they thought. And they adopted a little baby that was born out of wedlock. A little girl who was not a wicked girl, made a mistake. Made it a wicked deed. Gave birth to a child. And Dave and Paula adopted the child. And within a few weeks after they adopted the child, now Paula's pregnant and expecting triplets. And I'm just judging by what I see, that's all. And I saw the other day rolling down the street, and I just I just didn't know for sure. But I got thinking, son. I had never thought of little Jamie as being illegitimate. And it just dawned on me. I've got a little illegitimate grandbaby. Ah, she's cute. She's only about, 6 months now? 7 months? And she can stand up if you'll hold her finger. She'll hold on your finger and stand up. Only child's ever done that in 7 months. And she smiles all the time. And one of the best babies you ever saw. And did you know, as long as I live and as long as she lives, I'm going to have an illegitimate grandchild that loves her grandpa and that her grandpa loves? Don't you think if I can love a little child like that and accept that little child into our family, don't you think the great loving heart of God can accept anybody into his family? Huh? I didn't even dawn on me about that till this week. Good night. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I mean, I know that God loves these little poor little boys and girls have no moms and daddies. I know it. Why? Because I love one. Love a lot of them, but one especially. And that's how God loves you this morning. Oh, but you say, preacher, you don't know what I've done. I know, but God knew what Hagar had done and still loved her. And loved her baby.
Yes.
I remember one day a little lady came to me, and I'm not sure if she's here now or not. I don't think she is. She came to my office, and she brought two of the cutest little boys you ever saw in your life. She said, Brother Hobbs. No, I think she was deaf, if I'm not mistaken. Anyway, somebody came and said, Brother Hobbs, she wants to give these boys away. And tears in her eyes. She said, I can't rear them. I can't feed them. And I found two of our fine families. They came to the office area one day, and those cute, precious little boys came, and that mother came. And I saw a cute little boy turn to walk away with a mommy, new mommy and daddy, and I saw the face of his mother as she said goodbye to him. And I saw another little boy younger than he, as cute as a bug. They're both now teenagers. But I saw him. And I saw that mother walk away. Oh, let me tell you, God loves little illegitimate children. The lady came to my office and said, Brother Hiles, she said, that's your four children stood right there. Brother Hiles, is there any way in the world I can get my children to Christian school? And she said, these are my children. She said, all four of them illegitimate. And not any two of them have the same daddy.
They go to our schools. Mr. Clare, they're just as welcome as anybody else.
Why? Oh, you say, Brother Hiles, how can you say that?
You can say it too if you'd get right with the heart of God.
Oh, here is that little mother over here who's been in sin and has given birth to a child by Abraham the patriarch. And there she is without food, without drink. And God knows she's there. And God knows her name. And God knows all about her. And yet, God loves her. And God doesn't love anybody in this house this morning because of what you are.
God loves you in spite of what you are.
Shall one of us, who's a sinner, sit in judgment on another of us, who's a sinner? Shall one of us, who is as rotten as the devil, setting judgment upon others of us who prove their imperfection and their fleshly heritage also.
She was on her own. I want you to notice this now. She did not hear the voice of God until she was on her own.
In Abraham's house, we never have any record of God saying, Hagar, when Abraham would teach her the truths of God and then pray around the family circle, we have no record of God saying, Hagar, but when she got on her own,
God spoke to her. That encourages my heart, son. We get concerned about many of our teenagers sometimes, and I get as concerned as you do. I worry about them and fret about them. But you know, Brother Dave, in spite of all we've done through these years, you know that a lot of these kids, when they grow up and do go out and get on their own, they still remember what they've been taught. I travel around this country, and the strangest crowd of adults come to see me. And oh, they're glad to see me. And most of them, many of them, when they were here, they were little brats. They kicked them out of school for smoking a cigarette. And yet they've gone out, but they have not forgotten what we taught and preached in this place. Maybe they picked up a little child in a maternity ward that God had given to their union. And they looked at that little child and said, now, I see it now. I know now why Brother House loved me so much. I know now how Mom and Daddy loved me so much. I know now why they were so strict. I know now. And all of a sudden, the truths that have come forth in this pulpit and from your teaching at home and from the teaching at the schools and the Sunday school classes, all of a sudden that teaching begins to surface. And all across this nation, young people we thought were going to the devil are now deacons and Sunday school teachers and soul winners and faithful servants of God all across this nation. Why? Because sometimes God doesn't really speak as loudly until we're out on our own. May I say this, and I want to tiptoe through this carefully. She never heard the voice of God till sin came. I'm not recommending sin. But I'm saying that there is something inbred in sin, Dr. Evans, that can get us back to God. Because sin never brings joy to anybody.
And the deeper the night comes, the sadder, the more the tears, and the deeper the sin, the blacker the midnight, and the heavier the heart, and the hungrier you are for God.
Hagar didn't need to hear the voice of God. She's a good girl. In a good home, with good teaching. But there came a time in her life when she had to leave. Some of the dearest people in this church today, in this room this morning, are people, are young people who did not listen. Some of the dearest friends I have in this room this morning are young ladies who have not listened. They've gone out and given their bodies, and they didn't realize. They said, what's wrong with holding hands? Because that leads to hugging. What's wrong with embracing? That leads to kissing. What's wrong with kissing? That leads to fondling. What's wrong with fondling? That leads to fornication. What's wrong with that? That leads to pregnancy. In these years, how many times have these ears heard the words, preacher, I'm pregnant. Never one time have I said, well, the very idea.
Get out of here. I'll not have any such sinner like that here.
Oh. I said, I'm still your preacher. And I said, you lost one round, but the fight isn't over yet. And some of the sweetest, sweetest members of this church are people that didn't listen. And like Hagar, ended up holding a little baby in their arms that did not belong. I had no father. It was married to its mother. Numbers of them I've met with week after week after week after week and been like a father to them. In some cases, I've bought their maternity wardrobe. In some cases, I've been the only one that kept up with them all through these months.
I've had some cases where her parents wouldn't even speak to them all during the 9 months. I've had some of them that wouldn't have had a hospital if I hadn't stood beside them. I recall one little girl. I went to the hospital when the church was smaller and I could do all of that. I went to the hospital and waved through the window at her. I went to the mother and father's room and rejoiced with them. They brought her by the office when she went home from the hospital. I went out in the hallway and looked at her and told my usual lie, "That's a beautiful baby." The little shriveled up peach, fuzzy, bald headed, pink. And in Vacation Bible School, we sang together. And she said, "Watch out! He's got a knife! He's going to bust that balloon! Watch out, preacher, there, sitting in it!" And she'd come and jump up on my knee. And she'd put pennies under my door. And say, like, "I wobble, Brother Howell," under the door. I'm getting so many pennies and nickels and dimes under the door now, the IRS stands there during the Sunday school and preaching service. Then one day, she came to the office and she said, "Brother Hiles, I'm pregnant." It seemed like the stars wouldn't shine. It seemed like the clouds wouldn't move. It seemed like the sun would turn black. And I tried to help her. And after the baby came and it was adopted to a lovely family, she came by the office late one night, knocked on the door, and I went to the door and I said, and she came in and she said, "Preacher, I just want to thank you for something. I just want to thank you that you never gave up on me. You never gave up on me. And I'm not going to. Go to the taverns of State Street if you want to, but I'm not giving up." No? And by the way, you will never go to the deep into sin deep enough. But what I won't speak to you with a kind voice when I see you. You never will. And you will never go so far into sin. But what there's a loving Heavenly Father who will say, "Hagar? Hagar? Maid of Sarah? Pick up the child." But now wait a minute, I'm through. God opened her eyes, the Bible says, and there was a well of water right beside the child. Did God make that well? Maybe God sent His angelic well diggers and dug one in about 2 seconds. I don't know. Or was there a well already and she was blinded from the well because of tear-stained or tear-filled eyes? I don't know. But I know this. I know God loves His own. And I know this morning that someone who was made in the image of God and made for fellowship with His Creator, and someone who was made to walk with God and made to live on a higher plane. I've been singing that song all week. Now, on a higher plane I dwell. On a higher plane. I know that not one single person in this world will ever be contented and completely happy until his soul is reunited with its Maker. God loves you this morning. Yes, there's a hell where folks go who die without God, but God is not pleased for anyone to go there. Yes, sin has its consequences, and judgment is coming. But God is not pleased that anyone is judged. In closing, watch her carefully. Watch her. She sits there in the wilderness. She holds that little baby in her arms. She loves her baby like you love yours. little Ishmael was made of flesh. He could smile and he could cry. And Hagar says, I'm not much. I've gone to the bottom, and that little illegitimate child is my baby, and I love him. But I can't stand to see him die. She takes that little child and very carefully puts him over here in a cool, shady, dry place. And turns to walk away. Can you imagine that? Not being able to bear to see the child die. And she sits down over here, realizing her baby's dying. Hagar? Hagar! Hagar, maid of Sarah! I still love you! Look! There's a well! Go pick up the child! Get him water! I love you! I'll forgive you! If you'll come to me, you'll be as happy as if you had a husband. And that little child can be as happy as if he had a father. This morning, God knows your name. And God loves you very much. And God comes and calls your name this morning just as much as He called Hagar's name. And that same loving God that cared for her wants to care for you. All you've got to do is come to Him. Can you imagine Hagar saying, I want to wait till I make up my own mind. Don't rush me. I don't believe in high pressure. I just am not ready yet. Having too much fun over here, starving to death. I don't care who you are. You're not having any fun in sin. You're not. Sin never spoke a day. It gave anybody any joy. The devil's a liar. He's a thief. He's a crook. You know in your sin you've not found peace, for my Bible says, there is no peace, saith my God, to the wicked. What you need to do this morning is see His arms outstretched and run down these aisles and fall on your face at this altar and say, God, if you'll forgive me and if you still love me, I'll give the rest of my life to you. Father, bless the invitation.